This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The changing climate the Earth is experiencing is changing forests in Michigan. Warmer and shorter winters affect trees and the pests and diseases that damage trees. Stephen Handler is a climate change specialist with the U.S. Forest Service. He's based in Houghton in the Upper Peninsula. So what kind of changes are you seeing currently in Michigan forests?
When I talk to people about climate change, the two big headlines that we have already observed in Michigan and really across the Midwest are, number one, our winters are becoming milder and more variable. And number two, more of our precipitation is being delivered in these big, heavy rainstorms that come all at once.
So if the winters are warmer and somewhat shorter, more pests are able to winter over. We see that in crops. What does it mean for trees?
So what milder winters mean for trees in terms of pests are that sometimes there are these lethal cold temperatures in our characteristic northern winters that have really kept the lid on a lot of pests and diseases that haven't been able to kind of infiltrate our area. One pest that is a good example of this is the hemlock woolly adelgid. Like its name suggests, it really attacks hemlock trees, kind of conifer that are iconic in northern forests. And when you get really cold weather outbreaks in the wintertime, negative 30, negative 40 Fahrenheit, that kills or puts a damper on the populations of these hemlock woolly adelgid. That's actually how the risk maps for this pest are drawn across the state, is based on how frequent do we get those really cold snaps in the winter. And as we've seen over the past couple of decades, we're getting those really cold outbreaks less and less reliably, which is allowing that pest in particular to spread northward.
Are there other impacts from warmer temperatures and less snow cover for trees?
Well, there's an interesting one that I didn't really realize until I started working in this part of the world, and it has to do more with the day-to-day business of managing forests and our woods, and that is, in many forests in Michigan, we depend on frozen ground or a minimum depth of snowpack, say 10 inches or more of snowpack, in order to actually get in there and manage the woods, in order to do harvests or other kinds of treatments.
So you're talking about managed logging in the wintertime.
Right. And so if we don't have frozen ground or a minimum snowpack, a lot of our forest area is actually off limits to forest management, because if you get in there with heavy logging equipment running around in the woods, you can do a lot of damage to soils. You can cause erosion, compaction and rutting, things that have cascading impacts. So there are good reasons for this. We have rules and restrictions for low areas that are continually wet or sensitive soils like clay soils that really could be compacted. So as we get milder winters and a shorter duration of winters, that really compresses our window of time where we can get in and do the necessary work in our woods.
Let me ask you, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand managed logging. In fact, any kind of logging sounds like it would be bad for the forests. Why would the U.S. Forest Service encourage logging?
Wow. This is a big question. There are several reasons, I guess. I'll give you an easy example. Many, many acres of forest land that exist in Michigan now are plantations, right? We have either planted species like red pine or white spruce in an area, and oftentimes those plantations are started with seedlings at very high densities in order to get them established. And periodically through time, every 15 or 20 years, it's necessary to enter those stands and thin those trees so that they have room to grow and they can stay vigorous and healthy and they're not overcrowded and stressed.
Got it.
Right? So that needs to happen periodically in order to keep that plantation on track and avoiding all sorts of problems.
Let me turn to another thing. Not only is the climate warming, but CO2 levels are rising. There's a cause and effect there. I've talked to scientists who are running these long experiments where they're artificially pumping carbon dioxide to trees. What are the effects of higher CO2 levels in a forest?
This is an active area of research, and really the impacts of this, we're just kind of beginning to figure out how many cascading impacts there are. I'll start with the simplest one, that trees grow by absorbing CO2 passively from the atmosphere, peeling off carbon atoms and storing them as wood, as biomass, and then releasing oxygen. So when we grow trees in an atmosphere that is enriched in CO2, that's like growing them in a, you know, an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? They have more available carbon, and so trees respond to that. They grow faster. They put on more biomass each year. And some of the results we've seen from long-term growth trials in elevated CO2 environments demonstrate this. You're looking at 20-25% increased biomass in a forest that's grown with elevated CO2 compared to a control forest that's grown without elevated CO2.
So what we're seeing here because of climate change and because of an increase in CO2 is a mixed bag. Some things are really bad for trees. Some things are really good for trees. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the fact is that some tree species are able to take advantage of this extra CO2 and grow faster. There's some limits and there's some gray areas to this, right? CO2 is not the only thing that controls tree growth, so you have to have water and nutrients also to support that. So eventually there's a limiting point where more CO2 doesn't necessarily benefit tree growth. So there's a limit to which this effect will help trees. There's also some interesting research that's just come out in the last couple of years which also suggests that forest pests, so bugs that eat leaves of trees, might actually increase the rate that they're consuming leaves to compensate for that extra growth. So something is triggering insects to eat more of these tree leaves when they're grown in elevated CO2 environments. We don't know yet why. So there may be some compounding factors here at work.
Let me ask you, what are some of the broader effects? How does it affect the lives of people who are not really connected in a direct way to Michigan forests?
That's a great question. I tell people that in many cases, the most important product we get from forests is not wood, it's water, right? I think that's something we can all relate to, is that we need clean and reliable supplies of water for drinking, for recreation, for agriculture, and for other ecosystems. Trees are actually our best filtration device that Mother Nature ever invented. Forests are a great way to reliably and consistently capture water, filter it into the soil, and then release it gradually and slowly through our groundwater into our lakes, rivers, and wetlands. So having healthy trees on the landscape ensures that we have healthy drinking water.
I've got one more question that I think I have to ask you, and that is the proposed budget released by President Trump cuts a lot of programs and agencies. It also has ordered some agencies not to pursue study of climate change. Where does that leave you as a climate specialist and the U.S. Forest Service?
The Forest Service has actually been pretty clear on this, that recognizing the impacts of climate change and doing what we can to respond and prepare to climate change, that's just a fact of life now. That is what we need to do in order to be responsible stewards of the land and responsible land managers. So the Forest Service is taking this issue seriously, and it's still our priority. My work is still going to continue, regardless of what, you know, the arguments and public displays in Washington might be.
That's Stephen Handler. He's a climate change specialist with the U.S. Forest Service. He's based in Houghton, Michigan. Thanks for explaining all this to us, and good luck.
Thanks for having me.